Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It's game day for the Nashville Predators. They take on the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight at 7 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. Pre-game at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll have Hal Gill, Predators radio analyst, join us at 9:30 to look ahead to that game. So looking forward to that conversation with Skillsy coming up. But right now, Ryan Porth.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, we have some overs and unders a part of our daily lives now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We've got some team props this year with the NHL. Lots of new conversation pieces this year with sports gambling becoming legal here in the state of Tennessee. So as you look ahead to the NHL season, you have compiled some team props, some player props that are pretty interesting, both in the NHL and with the Nashville Predators. So without further ado, I turn things over to you.
Well, these are exclusively Preds.
Even better.
Exclusively Preds.
Spending, even better.
A lot of time last night going through these. Not really. Compiled them on my drive in this morning.
Nicely done.
So, as I was listening to the Morgan Wallen double album, which I know Joe Rex Road is a huge fan
Big
of.
Fan.
Morgan Wallen. All right. So,
every last note.
Over, under, Philip Forsberg goals for this season. 21.5. Which is a 33-goal pace in an 82-game season. 21.5 goals for Philip Forsberg, over or under?
Well, first off, let me say thank you for doing that math for me, because I was trying to do math in my head to what that was going to look like over an 82-game pace. So 33, did you say 33.5? 33-goal pace?
33-goal pace.
Okay.
And the over-under is 21.5.
Okay. I'm going to start on this one. I'm going over. I think he's going to have a big year. I think that line, if they can stay healthy, and that's been a problem at times with this group, but, you know, for not forecasting any issues with COVID or staying healthy, if they can be on the ice and be available, I think Forsberg has a chance to have a big year. And a lot of it goes back to what we talked about earlier in the show with John Hines and trying to get him to play a little bit different way. And, you know, look, we all know how talented Forsberg is, and we know how gifted he is with the puck and how great he is at stick handling. But I do think there have been times in the past where he's been guilty of trying to do things too much and trying to go one-on-one too much and using his skill when he should just lower his shoulder, get to the front of the net, and score goals that way. I think that's been a heavy point of emphasis from John Hines to him. I think he responds, give me the over with Philip Forsberg.
Joe?
Yeah, I'm going to go there too. It's a good over-under. It's close. But I just – I mean, based on how those guys played together in the bubble – And all we're hearing, you know, about not just, you know, we know how good those guys are, but, you know, just about the approach. I think Johansson is such a key there. We know that Forsberg is streaky. So, you know, in a 56-game schedule, the condensed schedule against the same teams, what does that mean? You know, it's just, it's a different, and that's where it's hard to take past performance and necessarily apply it, because it's a different kind of schedule. The same opponents over and over. Not as much rest, all that stuff, but I think I've got to go over. I feel like this line back together is has a chance to be special again. And Forsberg, if he takes that to heart, what you were just talking about there, Robbie, I really think that'll pay off in production.
Think this will be really, really close, but give me the over as well. All right, starting with you, Joe, on this one. Ryan Johansson, over under 27.5 assists, which is a 40-assist pace over the course of 82 games, and his average in Nashville is 39.5 assists a year.
Well, these are good over-unders. God, I mean, I hate to be too homerish here, but I think I'm going to have to lean over. You know, so much was made of Ryan, and with good reason, of Ryan Johansson's season. Whatever was going on, you know, he struggled last year. He struggled to be the kind of dominant player that I think he is. And the funny thing is, I mean, this is a guy who obviously has been a full-time player in this league since 2011. He's still only 28 years old, you know. And it feels like there was a little bit of an awakening for him last year, like John Hines was talking about earlier on the show, in terms of, you know, one, get in great shape. You know, he didn't look like he was in great shape most of last year. Looked different in the bubble. So just some of these things that you have to do to get to the point of production. it seems like the light's gone on. And you know what? If we get 2 weeks into this season and it looks like last year again, then we'll go right back to talking about it. But right now I've got to guess that he's going to have a bounce back year, so I'll take the over.
I'm going with the over as well. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. I mean, you look at his 82-game pace over the course of the past few years, 47 assists in 16-17, 39 in 17-18, 50 in 18-19. If what we've been talking about transpires and he's a guy that is bought in and that is bringing that effort every night, if he doesn't hit the over on this mark, I mean, you got to ask some serious questions moving forward, especially if he's healthy. Like, obviously, we're not talking about injury here, but if he's healthy and he doesn't hit that mark on the over, then I really got – you got to do some long-term soul-searching about your number one center and what that's going to look like as you move forward. So, I agree. I mean, we've talked about it. This team is in prove-it mode. You can talk about it all you want. You need to go out there and show me. But I would think Ryan Johansson, based on what we've seen so far in camp, based on what we saw last year in the play-in round, and based on, I think, the pressure that he knows is on him, I think he responds and hits the over.
Give me the over as well. I'm going to say he gets over 30 this season. All right, Robbie, starting with you on this one. Your pick to click tonight is Roman Josi.
Correct.
39.5 points this season for the defending Norris Trophy winner. That is a 57-point pace in 82 games.
I am going to take the under on this. I think it's very close. And the reason I'm taking the under is this. Number one, the schedule is more challenging. So I think, you know, with the amount of minutes Roman Josi is going to be playing, maybe fatigue sets in at some point. But number two, I think with the way that John Hines wants to play and with the system they want to run, they're going to get the puck in the hands of the forwards a lot more often than we've been used to seeing in this offense, especially in transition, coming up the ice, entering the zone off the rush. And we've seen Roman Josi do a lot of that. I still think he'll have his hands all over that many times, and he's going to be productive, and he's going to put up points, and he's going to be right back in the conversation for the Norris Trophy again this year because of how good he is. But I will say under, barely, just because of the style of play I think the Predators are going to have.
Joe?
Well, I think Robbie made a good case all the way around, but I don't want to have the exact same picks as Robbie, so give me the over. I think it'll be close. I still think, you know, obviously the power play, obviously Roman Josi is going to be a very important part of that. And, I mean, you look at this team, they're going to lean heavily on that top line to produce goals. They need Duchesne's line to be productive, and they need to figure out what that line's going to be and have a set, you know, trio there. But, you know, you've got to find production and scoring from other parts of the lineup. And I still think Roman Josi is going to be critical for him to score this year. And so I will just go over to be different from Robbie.
All right. I'm going to lean under on that one. I still think he plays very, very well. But maybe defense is key in on him throughout the season a little bit more. And I don't think he's going to feel the pressure to take over offensively and do everything himself like he had to do at times last year. In net, starting with you, Joe, UC Saros, over under 33.5 starts between the pipes. That is a 50-start pace over the course of 82 games.
Yeah, see, this is where if you give me time, let me go through all the back-to-backs, you know, and you can kind of almost come up with a number you know he won't do, you know. But off the cuff, I'll take the over. I think he's clearly the number one. I think that in a normal year, that's about exactly where he'd be. He'd be right around 50. You know, it'd be about a 50-30 split with UC and Pekka. And I still have questions, you know, about Pekka-Rinne at his age, about how he'll perform this year based on what we saw last year. I think even if he bounces back, you know, UC Saros is going to get more starts. I'm going to guess that UC is a little bit more consistent and even as the season goes on, gets some starts that maybe would have gone to Pekka-Rinne. So give me the over.
I think it's close. I will go under. I think Pekka responds. He has a good year. Obviously not in the same role as he began the season last year where he's the guy, he's the starter, and he's playing almost every night. I think Pekka And we're going to talk about this here in a few minutes. He's got something to prove this year. He knows that the light is at the end of the tunnel in terms of his career. And I think that he responds and plays well this year. I don't think he's going to be the starter. I don't think he's just going to, you know, snatch that starting job back away from UC Soros. But I do think it's going to be fairly close to an even split based on the way the schedule plays out. And not just with the back-to-backs, but even sometimes when you're dealing with, you know, 3 games in 4 days or 3 games in 5 days, just the toll that could take over the long haul here, I think I will take the under with UC Soros.
I'm going to take the under as well. I think Connor Ingram might get a couple starts along the way as well, and that Pecorine improves from last season enough to get a couple starts away from UC Soros. All right, final one. For team amount of points this season, starting with you, Robbie, 65.5 team points, which is a 96-point pace in 82 games.
Ooh, this one's tough. I think they're going to be right on that line. I mean, typically in an 82-game season, you're right around 94, 95, 96 is the cutoff to get into the playoffs. I said earlier in the show, I've got the Predators finishing fourth in the division, so that's in the setup this year, that's right on the line with the playoffs. I will say, what did you say the line was, 94?
96.
96. I'll say under. I think they end up at a 95-point pace. So I'll say slightly under.
Okay. Joe?
Yeah, I'll do the same. Just under that pace. Very close. Again, it's a good over-under. Tough call, but I'll say just under and just enough to still get in.
Wow, Joe actually complimented something that I did.
Ah, I know, right?
Just don't turn it into a poll.
I'm going to remember that one. I'll go over.
Okay.
I'll say they get like 66, 67. I think this team is going to play pretty well this season.
You got them finishing third in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
It might take the over to get to third in that division.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there we go.
Very nicely done, Ryan Porth. I like these player props, these team props thrown out there for the Nashville Predators. And the real thing gets started tonight for the Preds against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And a guy we talked about there in that segment was in goal at Pecorine. Could tonight be the start of a farewell tour for Pecorine? We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think, personally, just looking for bounce back season. I mean, obviously not happy about last season and not happy about my play and level of play and getting ready physically and mentally these past 4 months since the playoffs, and just very excited. I mean, at this point in my career, only thing I'm thinking about is winning and not so much personal things, but at the same time I do wanna step up personally and bounce back from last year.
That was Predators goaltender Pecorine a few weeks ago talking about his season last year and how much he's looking forward to getting things going this year. And the Predators will get things going tonight at 7 o'clock against the Columbus Blue Jackets. You can hear pregame starting at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe Rexroad, one of the things that I've been thinking about the last few days, and I think it's something if you're a Preds fan, you've got to at least consider, is Pecorine is entering the last year of his contract, and he's 38 years old. Obviously, he's been so productive and so accomplished throughout his career here in Nashville. I think by far the most beloved member of the franchise, probably the most popular player that this team has ever seen. As you look at Pekka, I mean, last year he talked about it, an .895 goals against average, you know, a save percentage of .899. I mean, it wasn't great. Last year, a save percentage of .895, a goals against average of 3.17. And we know what happened in the playoffs. He didn't see the ice. UC Soros kind of took over the mantle in terms of being the starting goaltender for this team. So what do you think the chances are that this is it for Pecorine and that this opening night tonight against Columbus is the last opening night Pecorine is a part of, given his age, given where he is in life, just had a newborn baby boy? How realistic do you think it is that this is it and this is the last we'll see of Pecorine?
Oh, I think it's very realistic. I think the last thing you said there is a part of it too. 38 years old, has a newborn baby, which is, man, that's I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot to deal with. That's a lot to handle. The newborn, you know, and it just seems like another, you know, chapter of his life. So I think there's a real good chance. I mean, I would put it better than 50% that this is his last year. I don't know what percentage exactly I'd put it at, but I mean, if you gave me the over under of 1 year, I think I'd go, or 1.5, I'd go under. I think, you know, I think it just makes sense that this would be it. Now, maybe he plays great. Maybe they play great. You know, at the end of this season, they're pointing toward something, you know, and it's like, man, how do you stop now? You know, and maybe there'd be another 1 year deal tacked on, or even a 2 year deal, I guess. But at this point, it seems like it's sort of all trending toward, you know, UC Soros now is the one, Pekka is the two. And then, you know, it's probably Connor Ingram's turn to pair with UC Soros for a while as they figure out the long-term plan. And, you know, obviously, like you said earlier on the show, they've drafted Askarov as a guy who down the road may be the long-term guy.
You know, my position on this has changed over the course of the last few days and weeks as I've thought about it, because I was with you. I thought heading into this season, it was a better than 50% chance that he's done and he retires. And who knows? I mean, once you get to 38 years old and you've got as much tread on the tires as Pecorine has, it's certainly a pretty good chance. I mean, at the end of this year, there's at least a decent shot that this is it for him. But I just think about the situation right now. He's obviously a guy that's very competitive, but at the same time, I've never gotten the sense from Pekka that he's a guy that has a huge problem with being a backup goaltender. Like, I don't think he's looking at this situation right now and is just frustrated or furious that he's not getting the playing time that he's gotten throughout his career. And I do think with him, maybe more so than some other guys that would be in this situation, the environment that we're in right now could play a factor. And what I mean by that is this. I mean, Pekka has been a guy that's been so beloved by this fan base. He's been so, I guess, cherished, and that has been reciprocated from him to the fan base. I feel like he wants one more shot in front of a full crowd and one more shot in front of, you know, Smashville as we know it. And we'll see what it looks like this year. I think you're going to get some fans in the building by the end of the season, and hopefully it looks better and closer to a bigger crowd toward the end of the season. But I don't know how realistic it is that it's going to be back to normal and back to full before this season is up. And I just wonder, like, if Pekka comes in this year, and obviously his play has a lot to do with it, but he rebounds and he plays well, not to the level where he's the starter, but he's continuing to be productive and to be a good goalie for this team. I do wonder if he wants one more year of things getting back to quote unquote normal and trying to go through another run with the fans back in the building to give him the send off that, quite frankly, I think he deserves. I mean, he's going to be the first number that's hanging up in the rafters here at Bridgestone Arena. And I do wonder if that plays a part in this at all, going out in front of an empty stadium.
Yeah, that's a good thought. I mean, I think that makes sense. Certainly, it's not ideal for a swan song this year. Like you said, I mean, we don't know. I mean, maybe late, it looks a lot more normal, but, you know, we'll just have to see on that. But, yeah, I could see that being a factor. You know, I also think that there's definitely, I think, a pressure release on him. There's less pressure on Pecorino. I think that, you know, he got this team to the cup final. And again, it's like what Matt Duchene was talking about yesterday. The whole group was like, okay, got to get back there. You know, we got the team to get back there. Let's get back there. But it was also on Pekka too. I think there was a lot on him to try to make that happen. He wins the Vezina and it doesn't go well against Winnipeg, you know, in that 18 series. And I think that last year, the transition probably removes a weight from him too, right? I mean, look, he's had a great career. It's close to the end. He's got the Vezina. He's got a lot of other, you know, achievements that he's done. But it's not like the whole city is looking at him like, Pekka, you got to do it one more time and get this team back to the cup final. You know, he can be a part of this team and not be the focal point. And maybe that helps him perform better this year too. I think a lot of last year was still stuff going on in front of him that wasn't good, but the bottom line is that's what you count on your goalie to save your butt, and he didn't do it as much as we're used to seeing last year.
And we had Adam Vingan on yesterday from The Athletic, who came out with a great piece on Pecorine and just where he is mentally right now approaching this season a couple of days ago at theathletic.com. And Adam talked about Pekka and the opportunity for him to have a bounce-back season. Here's what Adam Vingan had to say.
I talked to Pekka, last week, and I had a story that came out yesterday on The Athletic, and he said to me that, you know, even when he was at the top of his game, he never liked looking at lists where he was listed among the top goalies in the NHL. You know, he likes to put his head down and only have those expectations for himself. And he understands that the proverbial torch has been passed, that UC Saros, you know, will probably get the bulk of the starts, even though he will probably get more playing time, Pekka, that is, this season, just because of the condensed schedule, than he probably would have otherwise. But I think he will bounce back too. I'm very curious to see how this goalie rotation works, because the Predators have claimed that there'll be a 1A and 1B. We'll see. I personally believe that UC Saros should get more starts, just because I think we're at a point where we need to see just how realistic it is that he could be Pekka's immediate replacement. So I think Pekka, you know, is an incredibly competitive individual, but I also think he's in a good place. You know, he didn't take it personally that he didn't start in the playoffs last year. You know, he just had a son. His partner just had a son that's a month and a half old, so his perspective on life has changed a little bit. You know, I expect a good, solid season from Pekka. I'm not expecting Vezina Trophy-level Pekka, but I'm expecting better than what we saw last year.
And it's an interesting point, Joe, brought up by Adam. I do think that the mental part of this with Pekka is important because, look, I'm not inside his head, obviously, but I do think there have been times in the past where maybe the pressure's gotten to him. Like, I think back to the Winnipeg game in Game 7 and just how bad that was and how uncharacteristically bad he looked in that game. And I think that was a case of things snowballing and maybe you putting too much pressure on yourself in that situation. And I do wonder from a mental standpoint coming in this year, like you said, with a new outlook on life, you just had a baby, you know you're not in the same situation as you've been in throughout the majority of your career where you're coming in and you're unquestionably the guy. I wonder if that helps him this year. Like on the ice in terms of his performance, even being 38 years old, I wonder if that has a positive impact on his play.
Well, and it's a little bit like the team at large, but it's been a long time since Pekka Rinne could exceed expectations by being solid, you know? I mean, that's obviously those expectations, even at his age, when you do what he did the last couple years ago, there's a lot of pressure on you, and it's how long can it go? And there was a lot of, you know, it was pressure on him. There's also pressure on Preds. You've got to win while Pekka's here, you know? Like it's not just like try to win a cup. It's win a cup for Pekka to cap it all off for him. And maybe cement him as the most popular athlete Nashville's ever had. You know, I mean, that's kind of what it was. So I think there was pressure on him and for him. And now it is. If he comes out and he plays well and he's solid, then I'm not saying that's a pleasant surprise. I mean, you know, he's still obviously he's had a tremendous career. He's still a guy that you know can give you good play between the pipes. But I think if he sustains good, solid play, you know, that for the first time in a while, that's like there's not like this pressure to do more. I mean, he has a little bit, we think he'll have a little bit of a reduced role because of where things are with Saros. And I agree with Vingan, like this is the time to find out on Saros. I mean, where is this thing going long term? Whether it's this year or next year or even two more after this, we know it's very close to the finish for Pekka Rinne. So the Preds have got to figure out who's next.
And speaking of Pekka Rinne and his playing time, we would expect that to be probably more than we thought it could be heading into this season, just based on the schedule and the 56 games and how condensed everything is going to be. And that schedule gets underway tonight for the Predators against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And to help us talk more about that, we're going to visit with Hal Gill, Predators radio analyst, coming up to begin the next segment. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth there with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the season opener tonight for the Nashville Predators against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man, Preds Radio Analyst Hal Gill, brought to you by TriStar Moving. Hal, what's going on, man? How we doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited this day is finally here. It's been a lot of waiting for this one.
It's
here, and I'm jacked up for it.
I'm jacked up as well, and jacked up to see what this team looks like. How, as you look at this roster, now that they've gone through camp and you look at the season ahead, what are you most curious about to see with this group beginning tonight against Columbus?
Well, I think I'm most curious about how these lines are going to play out. I think you know, there's a lot of guys that are fighting for the second line spot. Gremlin is not going to be available just yet. He's got to go through COVID world quarantine. So I think he'll be there with Duchesne, but right now it looks like it's Holla and, you know, maybe Cunning on that line. That's going to be interesting because I'm really excited about the Jofa line. I think they're going to take a big step. I think Hines has them playing the right way. So I'm excited to see them, but I'm curious as to how the rest of the lines are going to play out.
When you say that, Hal, Hines has them playing the right way, can you elaborate on that and how much of that comes down to, you know, Ryan Johansson being the quote-unquote bubble Ryan Johansson, you know, on a full-time basis this year?
Yeah, he had in the two scrimmages, he had speed bursts through the neutral zone that I haven't seen. And I think it comes from – I think they maybe got some confidence from that bubble experience. I thought that line was good. Arvidsson is back to form. He's got his speed bursts. Really, the one that drives them, I think, is Forsberg. And if he can set his edges, attack, he was moving through the neutral zone with speed, and he looked deadly. If I was a defenseman, I'd be scared to play against him. And that's – because of that speed that he's shown through the neutral zone. So I think that is kind of what Hines has pushed their buttons to do is get moving. Don't just be a team that gets it deep and plays in the offensive zone, but be a team that attacks and is a threat through the neutral zone and then create your second chances off of an attack.
Preds Radio Analyst Hal Gill on the line with us, brought to you by TriStar Moving. And Hal, look, outwardly, the expectations not going to be the same for this group as they have been for the past 3 or 4 years. I mean, I was kind of rattling off earlier in the show today the predictions on NHL.com, and a lot of people don't even have them making the playoffs. If they do, they're at number 3 or number 4 in the division. And Ryan Ellis talked about that a little bit yesterday in terms of what the outward perception is. Do you think they can use that? Do you think that could help and be a benefit for this team heading into this season?
100%. I think that's I always say, like, I used to turn off the media when I was playing and kind of just let it slide by, and who cares what anyone else says? It's about us. But you feel it. You feel that, you know, hey, you don't expect anything big from these guys, and it becomes a chip on your shoulder, and it becomes there's a little more urgency to your game. Like, hey, this isn't going to be easy. We got to be ready to go. And maybe you're a little afraid of failure, and sometimes that's good. And I think this team has that. They have it with these new guys coming in. I think you talk to every one of them, especially the forwards. They'll tell you, I play with a little sandpaper. I play with a little grind. Like, every one of those players takes pride in the fact that they're not easy to play against. And so I think you're going to see a team that's got a little chip on its shoulder, and it's going to be like old time Predator hockey, hard to play against.
Well, Hal, to that point, you know, we had Duchesne on yesterday, and he used the word baggage, but, you know, talking about basically go back to that cup final run, and, you know, the resulting seasons have obviously been about trying to get back there, but maybe focus on results over process. I know the talk about the process can, you know, people's eyes can glaze over at that stuff. You know, it sounds like coach speak or player speak, but Do you think that that is that that's part of it too? That, you know, that John Hines has tried to get them to just be a little bit more incremental and, you know, day to day, shift to shift, and that maybe that was an issue last season.
Yeah, it's interesting. I heard DeShane, and it's interesting how he put that, because I think when you look at human nature, you have a great season in 2017, and let's face it, that team was good. I mean, the Preds were good. They just rolled to the President's Trophy. They just won games, and it wasn't always hard. It was like, it was kind of an eerie feeling, like, don't worry about this. We'll win. We'll win. And then when you get to the playoffs, you know, there's another team over there that's going, we'll do whatever it takes to get this win. And that's hard to play against. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. The Preds were like, yeah, we'll win. Well, seven game series goes pretty quick when you lose a couple because you thought you were going to win in the end. And then they're out of the playoffs. And so you become a little bit complacent. And I think you lose that baggage. And I think when he's talking about the process, it's you're not saying, we had a good game. We found a way to win. The power play wasn't good, but we found a way. And that's not good enough. You got to say, hey, the power play wasn't where it needed to be. We need to get that right. And that's part of the process. You know, at some point, that power play is going to need to win a game for us. So we better straighten that out. And that's where you kind of, that complacency sits in, where you say, oh, power play wasn't good, but hey, we found a way to win, so don't worry about it. And that's just a change in mentality. And I think John Hines has brought that. And I have to imagine that's what DeShane was kind of picking up on.
Hal, I've said this, and I look at this group defensively on the back end, and you know what you're going to get out of Yossi and Ellis, and I think there's an opportunity for Ekholm and Fabbro to take a big step forward this year with Fabbro being in his second full year. And then the addition of Borowiecki and Benning on the third pair. I feel as good about this six on defense as I've felt in a long time, and I think it has a chance to be really, really good. Number one, do you agree with that? And number two, what sort of element do you think that Borowiecki and Benning provide to this group?
Yeah, it's funny because I know what to expect from Roman Yossi and Ryan Ellis, and then I go watch them play in two inter-squad scrimmages, and I'm blown away again at how dominating they can be. Yossi was just cranking. You know, he had every right to be like, hey, let's just take it easy, get ready for the season. But he was pushing the pace and doing Yossi things out there. But yeah, I think Ekholm is obviously a beast, and Fabbro, like you said, is coming along. I think the problem that most people have is there's going to be, I don't care who you have as a third pairing, there's going to be a drop off. You know, you got elite defensemen, there's going to be a drop off. There's no way you could bring in, you know, 95% of the players, the defensemen in the league, and there's going to be a drop-off. But what I've really liked about Borowiecki is he brings a physical element that they haven't really had. I think he's going to go and ruffle feathers. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them spot him in different situations and to set the tone and change the game. And then Benning is a guy that is really steady, really solid, can kill penalties. So with both those guys killing penalties, that gives Yossi and Ekholm and Ellis, those guys, it gives those guys a little break. And I think that's going to be big. They're going to eat up some minutes and play hard minutes. And I feel that they can play against the best lines. And you're not in a panic when, you know, sometimes there's a panic. The best line jumps over the boards and you say, we got to match it up. I think this gives them a little more time to say, hey, we'll get the matchup when we can, but we don't need to panic on it.
Hal, what's your sense for both Saros and Rinne heading into this season? Where do you think those guys are?
I think they're both awesome. I have this debate. C. Mace and I talk about it all the time. Who do you play? Who do you go with? I just think they're both so good. Rinne, you know, near the end of his career, and Juice just about to kick off and have a great career, but they're both so good, and I think you're going to need them. You know, the way this season is coming down to 56 games, all divisional, every game is going to be so important. I really think you're going to need both of them. So I think the Preds are in a great spot in that regard.
Hal, last thing for you here. You talked to Nick Cousins and Luke Cunningham last night on Smashville Live. What were your impressions for them? And how specifically with a guy like Cousins and how much we know he likes to chirp, how big of a factor do you think he could be this year with the schedule being what it is, with you know probably more rivalries being born based on how many times you're going to see a particular opponent this year in your own division?
Yeah, it's funny. And talking to Cunningham, he said Cousins was always buzzing. He's in the locker room buzzing. And you need guys like that in the locker room. If you're looking at the Preds, I feel like Cody McLeod was one of those guys that would come in and lighten the locker room, but then had a fierce competitive side. And it's one thing to come in and lighten the locker room and have some fun, but it needs to be combined with that competitive beast mode that you're trying to get into. And I think Cousins has a good mix of both of that. You know, he's going to come in and have some fun in the locker room, but when the puck drops, he's all over the other team and he's chirping them and he's trying to get under his skin. And it was interesting listening to what he said. He said, sometimes if my legs aren't going, I'll start chirping and try to get into the game and get a little extra in me and light the fire. And I think that's a pretty honest statement because, you know, it's a long season. I don't care if it's just 56 games. It can be a long season. You're not going to feel great all the time, but you need to come out and perform. You got to do whatever you can. And I think that's a pretty honest statement from him.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by TriStar Moving. Hal, appreciate you, man. Looking forward to getting things rolling tonight.
Can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Hal Gill. And when we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Hal had to say there. And also, I've got some predictions to throw your way about this season in the NHL. All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, Smashville Live is back on 102.5 The Game. This show will air every Wednesday during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. Something new this year, we're going virtual. You can watch the show from the comforts of your own home via the 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. So make sure you're joining us every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. For more information, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's revisit our poll question of the day on Twitter at 102.5 The Game. With the Preds season getting underway tonight, which of the following Preds forwards do you expect to bounce back the most this season? And the options are the four guys we talk about all the time. It's Victor Arvidsson, Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg, and Ryan Johansson. 284 votes are in, 34% going with Matt Duchene, 33% with Philip Forsberg, 20% with Victor Arvidsson, and just 13% for Ryan Johansson. So Joe Rexrode, Matt Duchene leading the poll right now, very slightly over Philip Forsberg as the forward that Predators fans expect to rebound the most. And I got to tell you, I think he's going to bounce back too, but that surprises me given that we expect the Jofa line to be together and that Forsberg or Johansson, Arvidsson, not the one leading that poll.
Yeah, I'm surprised too because the other three kind of have each other and the way they played in the playoffs, you should feel good, you know, about that collective might really making a difference. And we just don't know yet with Duchene who he's with and how that's going to look. But that would obviously be big for the Preds if Duchene has a big year. I mean, I would have guessed Johansson would have won that.
Yeah, I would have too. And now he's, you know, in last place on the poll so far with just 13% of the vote. So, look, it's clear. I mean, he's got a lot to prove this year. I think he knows that. I think Predators fans, from what they saw last year largely, some of them are out. I mean, I've had people tweet me all offseason long about being out on Ryan Johansson. And that's part of it. That comes with the territory when you're making $8 million a year and you're expected to be the number one center. But that's on him. That's on him starting tonight to change that narrative, to prove that he can be a guy that carries you from start to finish. And the thing is, we've seen it when he's at his top level, he can. He can do that. He's not Sidney Crosby. You know, he's not Connor McDavid or anything like that, but he's pretty daggum effective when he's playing at his top level, and it's on him starting tonight to prove that.
Yeah, and that is, and I think that's what the poll reflects, is that there's certainly some people that are just like, eh, and I totally get, you know, prove it to me, wait and see. And, you know, there were times last year when I couldn't blame a Preds fan if they said, you know what, that's enough. I'm out on this guy. But still, like, the overwhelming performance of Ryan Johansson since he's been in Nashville has been pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's a lot more good than bad with him. But certainly, I mean, to me, he's the guy that is under scrutiny just because there was such a big difference from regular season to postseason for him. And it was that, it was the confirmation that, no, he's not done or he's not incapable. He just, for whatever reason, just wasn't performing last year.
I would vote for Victor Arvidsson in this poll question. I would vote for Arvidsson because I think we saw back in the qualifying round in August just what a long time of rest did for him.
Yeah.
And him being fresh, and I get it. He's a little nicked up right now, expected to play tonight in this opener against Columbus. I think Victor Arvidsson, not having to face Robert Bortuzzo all season long, I think he's going to benefit from the extra rest, only playing four games in the last, I don't know, 10 months. I'm going to go with Victor Arvidsson.
Look, I could see that. I think he's going to have a big year if he stays healthy. And, Joe, that's the big thing to me with him. He's got to stay healthy. I mean, I think we all know what Victor Arvidsson brings to the table. I mean, he's relentless. Shift after shift, he's going to give you everything he's got. And he's fast. That speed is a weapon. We saw that in the qualifying round against Arizona. But with the way he plays and his size, at times, he is vulnerable to injury. And we've seen that over the last couple of years. So, you know, you need him to be going the same speed that he's been going the past few years, and that's what makes him an effective player. You also got to make sure you keep him healthy, too, and that has been a challenge the last couple of years.
You tell me he's going to be healthy, and I sign up for that because, yes, I agree. I mean, I think it's going to be great for him. You know, back with this line, it should benefit him. Still think he's a terrific player, but he's got quite an accumulation at this point of different injuries, and some of them are just flat-out dirty hits. I mean, that's, you know, he's the kind of player who annoys the other team, and he's an easy mark in terms of his, you know, his lack of size and physicality. I don't like the, you know, the fact that he's, I mean, he's supposed to play tonight, but still, like, he wasn't on the ice yesterday. You start out the season and you got some kind of, even if it's a minor thing, it's just another thing for him. So tell me he's going to be healthy, and I agree. I think he could have a real nice season.
And I think part of the reason why I'm answering the poll question that way is that his totals last season went from 34 goals to 15 goals.
Right.
Which was a huge drop off, and you could tell most of the season that he just wasn't right. And I think he gets at least 15 goals this season in essentially the same amount of games. He played 57 last year. If he plays all the games this year, it'd obviously be 56. I think Arvidsson will bounce back in a pretty big way for that Jofa line.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. And I think the health is the main thing with him. And it's interesting trying to identify, like, which guy makes the line go. I think you can make arguments for all three. I mean, Forsberg, Howe talked about the driver of that line. I think Arvidsson, we saw what a difference his speed made last year in that series against Arizona. And then Johansson, to me, you know, the guy dishing around, he would be my answer to what makes that line go. It's just fascinating how, when they're at the top of their game, how different they are as players and how well that complements each other on the ice.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, I guess, to some extent, to the detriment of Duchesne, who, again, I mean, I think if you're Matt Duchesne and someone said, hey, would you like to have Forsberg or not have Forsberg? I'm sure he'd be like, yes. Yes, please. You know, it would be great for him to have that, and they've got to figure that out. But I just, you got to go with those guys together, to me, until it proves to be a detriment. I just think that they're too potent. Like you said, they're all really good players individually. They raise each other's games collectively, And this team is going to be really dependent on that scoring this year.
So very quickly, Joe Rexroad, I take this time to once again brag on myself for the prediction I had last year with Tampa Bay winning the Stanley Cup against Dallas. I have come out with my annual predictions once again this year. A little bit different setup. The playoffs will be much different this year. Some semifinal action. I've got Colorado, Vancouver, Carolina, and Boston in the semifinal with the Avalanche winning the Stanley Cup against the Boston Bruins. Joe, what are the chances that I go 2 years in a row from not only nailing the Stanley Cup winner, but nailing the Stanley Cup final? I don't put them very high.
Yeah, I don't think they're very high. I mean, good job, you know, pumping yourself up there. Again,
Thank you. You
very well should do that, and that's a heck of a pick. I think Colorado, to me, is they are the classic example of the very shiny, pretty object that I don't think has the grit to get through and get it done. But if you get this one right, we'll have to tip the cap to you, Robbie.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Ryan Porth, what are the chances I get it right?
Slim.
Thank you.
I mean, last year
I bought myself
you were due to get the Lightning because you picked the Lightning every year.
But Dallas is impressive.
It was impressive.
Thank you. That's all I'm looking for out of you.
It's also impressive when a blind squirrel finds an acorn. So
that's how I've spent half my career, is hoping that that happens. So hopefully that continues as we move forward. Predators game day tonight. We'll be back to discuss it tomorrow morning. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.